In the beginning of this week's parasha, Avraham Avinu is recovering from last week's parasha. Last week's parasha we talked about Nilo, so in the beginning of this week's parasha, Avraham is recovering from that. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu shows up. The first pasuk tells us the Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham, gives the parasha its name. And Chazal understood from here, the Gemara and Soto, we'll make reference to later, that we see from here that one of the Kadosh Baruch Hu's midos is that he's a Mevaker Cholim. That when somebody is ill, so tradition has it that it's appropriate to visit that person, what we call Bikur Cholim. And it's still that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself partakes of this behavior. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself visited Avraham when he was in a process of recovery. So I'd like to discuss a little bit some aspects of this idea of Bikur Cholim. The Rambam in Hilchas Evo, in Perek Yudalid, in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam discusses that there is a mitzvah of the Ahav Tzorech Kamocha, a well-known pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. You shall love your neighbor as thyself. And an aspect of that mitzvah, an aspect of that commandment is to do chasadim. If you show acts of kindness to people, that is a kiyum in the Ahav Tzorech Kamocha. However, the Rambam writes the specific examples that we have of chesed. He's basically saying that chesed as a whole is one big mitzvah d'oraisa, kiyum of Yahav Terech Kamocha. But the specific examples that we have, bikur cholim, nichum aveilim, hafnasos kala, whatever they are, the specific examples that we have of chesed, those are institutions midrabanan. A little bit of a question what that means. We'll talk about it a little bit, but it is a little bit confusing. But on one hand, he's basically saying there is a large mitzvah d'oraisa to do chesed, and the specific examples that we have, such as bikur cholim, so that is in itself a takana midrabanan. It's a little bit of a confusing idea how that works. But first of all, the Rambam seems to be coming off of his idea, which he has in Hilchos Deos as well, that the Ahav Terecha Kamocha is basically a positive commandment, which is the way it sounds, but that it commands us to act positively to others. By positively, I don't mean nicely, but positively as in actively. That the things that you would do for yourself, the things that you should want for yourself, you are asked to do that of other people. And that seems to be the intent, the way the Rambam understands, of the Ahav Terecha Kamocha. Okay, it doesn't sound so surprising. It sounds like that's what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is certainly phrased as a mitzvah zazeh. Sounds like it's a positive commandment. But the truth is, it wasn't so obvious to everybody. The Ramban, taking a lead really from the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos and Flamad Aleph, the story of Hillel and the Ger, basically reformulates the mitzvah of the Ahav Terech Kamocha in the negative. Ayi madalach sani lechavrecha lo sabi. Right, which has been it's been restated to say that that which is hurtful to you, that which is hateful to you, sonny, so that you shouldn't do to somebody else. Something that you wouldn't want done to you, so you shouldn't do it to others. So that's really a more negative formulation. That's the way the Ramban understands. And the Ramban explains that it's not shayich really to have the Ahav Terech Kamocha as a positive commandment. Because it's very daunting to say that a person should worry about other people as much as he worries about himself. You know, a person works all day in order to make a living, in order to feed his family, in order to take care of his needs. So, okay, hopefully he'll spend some time worrying about other people beyond his own family also, but to say that he's going to work as hard for everyone else as he works for himself, that he's going to, the same way he puts in 8 hours in the office in order that he should be able to support his family and clothe his children, he's going to do that for everyone else, it's not shy. It's not really reasonable to expect that people are going to be able to give the same effort towards themselves, the effort that they give towards themselves, to give to everyone else. Doesn't sound humanly possible. Tosha sounds like that in Sanhedrin also. Tosha in Sanhedrin and Memheyimid Beis comments on the fact that the Gemara there utilizes the pasuk of Yahav Terech Kamocha as kind of a strange din. Not such a strange din, but just not the din that you would think of as the prime idea behind Yahav Terech Kamocha. The Gemara says that when you're executing somebody, so Berlo Misa Yofe, that's what the word euthanasia means. Euthanasia means a misa yafa, a nice death. You should give when you're executing somebody, so you should execute somebody in a way that's not disfiguring. And the Gemara said, how do you know that you should do that? Yeah, after Recha Kamosa. So, that's the Gemara. So Tosfos comments over there. So it's, you know, it's not what you'd expect, right? We think the Haftarah Kamocha is all about happy and nice and doing positive things for your friends, and not about being careful how you kill them. So Tosfos explains that the idea that the Haftarah Kamocha really means that you have to worry about everyone else as much as you worry about yourself. That sounds to be impossible. So it can only be that we're talking about people who've already been executed, because it's not shy to worry about a living person as much as you worry about yourself. It's too daunting. That's a big discussion, what exactly the parameters that mean. It gets a little bit sometimes into drush. I remember once when I was in Karen Biavna, somebody had put up a sign asking for some chesed to be done, I forgot exactly what it was, and he emphasized on the sign, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. And somebody wrote a graffiti on the bottom of the sign, I hate myself. And somebody else wrote a graffiti on the bottom of that sign. The Kutzker Rebbe says that Yahat Varecha Kamocha means you should love others as much as you hate yourself. Okay, it's a classic Kutzker word, I don't know what it means. But it does highlight this idea that it's a little bit vague to tell people to love others as much as they love themselves. It's kind of a difficult imperative. So a lot of Rishonim understood that doesn't really necessarily mean an active responsibility, but rather it means more of a negative responsibility. Even though the Torah seems to be phrasing it in a positive way, that's really telling you to abstain from hurtful behavior to others. That's actually Nosson Gestetner, in one of his Tshuvas in Chelek Dalet, that points out that every moment you're doing something negative to somebody, you are in violation of Yehavta Recha Kamocha. And that's why there are a number of opinions that's the answer to one of the elusive questions that anyone who starts learning Bava Kamma has. You're learning Daf Yomi, so you're learning Bava Kamma, so in the beginning of Bava Kamma you start learning about Nezikin. So the Torah talks about when you damage somebody's property, so maybe it's a shor, maybe it's a bor, maybe it's aish, whatever the responsibility is, and the psukim and chumash to tell you what your responsibility is towards property that you've damaged. But all the Rishonim and Achronim discuss in the beginning of Bava Kamma that the Torah doesn't seem to say anywhere that you're not allowed to do it. The Torah doesn't seem to say anywhere that there's an iser to be mazik. Apparently there's a chiyuv tashlumin for hezek, but the fact that there's a prohibition that you're not allowed to be mazik something, so that the Torah doesn't seem to say. So it's a big discussion in Rishonim. Where do you get this prohibition from? Where does it come from? How do you know that there is such an idea? So the Stipler has discussion about this in the first piece in Bava Kamma, and points out there's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos that believes Nezikin is an Iser L'Sigzol. So there are a number of opinions. I think the Yad Ramah in the second parak of Bava Basra, the Marshal in Bava Kamma, that Rabbeinu Yonah believes the Iser of Nezikin comes from L'Sigzol. It's just one example of a number of theories. But that's in Pirkei Avos. But the Yad Ramah in Bava Basra and the Marashan Bava Kamma explain that Isn Nezikin is a violation of Yehavta Recha Kamocha. You're not allowed to be mazik other people's property. So that's a large body of thought that the Isser, that the Pasuk of Yehavta Recha Kamocha is really coming as a negative to tell you what not to do. But nonetheless, the Rambam seems to maintain that it's coming as a positive, and it's coming to mandate the responsibility of Gemilas Chasod. It's going to mandate other things as well. It's going to mandate in general, he goes into it and he'll stay, so he'll stay from it, the whole responsibility and try to feel an identification with others. He goes into it in some detail, but apparently Chesed is a subset of this obligation. So then the question is, so why does he then have to say that there's an idea of Bikur Cholim and Hafnasas Kal and all that, and that's a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan? So why is that not just a normal manifestation of Yichiyuv D'Oraisa? So that's a good question. Our own Rabbi J. David Bleich Shlita, in an article in the Sefer Zikaron D'Chaim, the Sefer Zikaron for the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen Biavna, so Rabbi Bleich has a maimer there on this topic in which he comments that really the ideal is the Torah wants that you should feel an identification with people to the extent that you are able to respond to what they need intuitively. That's what V'Ahavta Recha Kamocha is really getting at. But at the same time, human beings tend to be focused more on where they're coming from. And perhaps, like the Kutzker Rebbe said, maybe they hate themselves, maybe they're not so worried about their own needs. Maybe they're going to say, look, if I was sick, I wouldn't want to see anybody, I wouldn't care about anybody, I don't want to be visited. So maybe they're not going to have the proper sensitivity to what others need just by using the guidepost of what they would want. Doesn't always work. So in order to help people along to get to this goal of really having a sensitivity to what other people need as well, not just what you might think you need. So therefore, Chazal had to misaking certain specific tzuras of chesed in order to help people to more properly internalize what others might need and not just what their own instincts might need. The Sefer Siach Yosef in Chelet Gimel, he comments on this Rambam. He also points out the Rambam, in choosing the Ahav Tzarech Kamocha, is skipping another possible mucker for chesed. And that is the Gemara in Sotah and Dafi Dalet, which we started with, the Gemara which comments on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos. So the Gemara seems to there be interpreting the idea of Halachta Bedracha, the idea of walking in Hashem's path. So the Gemara says, how is it shayach to walk in Hashem's path? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a burning flame, you can't really follow him around, it's not really shayach. So the Gemara says, what it really means, it doesn't mean that you should try following him physically. It means that you're required to follow the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we see certain examples in the Chumash, Mahu Kover Mesa and Afata Kover Mesa. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that he's a Kover Mesa, so you too should be a Kover Mesa. Mahu Malbish Arumim, right, he gave clothes to Adam Chava, so too you should be a Malbish Arumim. And we see that by Avraham Avinu, he's Mavakar Cholim, so Mahu Mavakar Cholim and Fata Mavakar Cholim. That Kodesh Baruch Hu has midos, Kodesh Baruch Hu shows acts of chesed, and so too, so we ask that you follow in this path and do acts of chesed as well. And that's the idea of Halacha Bedracha. So that could also be a good mucker for chesed. So why does the Rambam not choose that? Why does he focus on the Ahav Tzarecha Kamocha? So in the Sefer Siach Yosef, he suggests that really they're both relevant. Really, there's two different functions. Chesed comes from two different places. On the one hand, there is an idea to improve one's personal qualities to the point where they match Hashem's. There's the idea of working on oneself. It's really a mitzvah and adam l'makom, really, to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by perfecting your midos. And practicing acts of chesed is one way of bringing about this perfection in midos. A person is supposed to be kind. A person is supposed to be generous. So one way to bring about kindness and generosity is to put into practice by doing acts of chesed, so a person will evoke this quality within himself. So Balakta Bedrachav asks you to do acts of kindness in order to bring about this quality. Now, once you have this quality, there's also an obligation to do those acts of chesed, not only for that purpose, but the mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, to help out your friends who need something. And that's via Haftarich HaKamokas. So there's really two separate commandments. There's really two separate ideas here, which both manifest themselves in the same way, although not exclusively. For example, a person could theoretically reach a state of perfection in midos, where he no longer needs to engage in these acts for the purpose of Halachta Bedrachav. He already has reached that stage, but he still has to do them for via Haftarich HaKamokas in order to do the act of kindness in order to help other people who need something. So there are these two different functions of chesed, even though their actions might be the same, but they're trying to fulfill two different goals. On the one hand, bringing about an internal perfection of midos, and on the other hand, actually physically helping people who need it. And these two goals are addressed by these two separate ideas, one the Halachta Bedracha, and the other by the Ahav Tzarecha Kamocha. There's still other sources also. There's still other ideas that are relevant, especially when we talk about Bikur Cholim, we talk about Chasadim in general. The Gemara, the sugyas of Bikur Cholim, if you're familiar, the sugyas are in Nedarim. We've been doing Daf Yomi for a little while now, so you want Nedarim also. So Nedarim, Daf Metes, and Daf Mem over there, you have all kinds of sugyas, all kinds of Mamari Chazal, which deal with the topic of Bikur Cholim. And the Gemara there quotes a pasuk saying, "Remez l'Bikur Cholim and Atar Minayin." Says, "How do you know there's a clue? Where is there a hint to Bikur Cholim and Atar?" And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and many Rishonim comment there that the Rush, for one, the Rush has a running commentary on Nedarim, in addition to his code in the back of most Masechtas. So on Nedarim, in addition to that, he has a commentary on the side of the Gemara, the Perush HaRush, on the side of the Daf. So the Rush and other Rishonim in their Perushim on Nedarim point out, the Gemara there says, where do you see in the Torah a hint to Bikur Cholim? So he says, there, where do you see an explicit hint? Because really, we have another source for B'kecholim, but it's not so explicit. But we really do have a source in the Torah. There is an obligation of B'kecholim in the Torah. There's an obligation of all acts of chesed in the Torah from a pasuk in Parashat Yisro. The pasuk in Parashat Yisro tells us that in that whole context where Yisro is giving Musar to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him everything he does wrong as far as the whole structure, so he says also, V'hodatem lehem sederech yelchuba. He says you should show them the way to go. And the Gemara understands from each different word in that pasuk that there's a reference there to different acts of chesed. And from Yelchuba, so the Gemara says, that refers to Bikur Cholim. Each one of these words in the pasuk is telling us a different act of chesed is what Yisro is hinting at. And when he talks about Yelchuba, the path he should go on, he's talking about going to go visit Cholim. And that's kind of a hint to Bikur Cholim, but apparently it's enough, according to the opinion of many Rishonim, to constitute a Makor Min HaTorah. And then when the Gemara makes his extra comment in Adarim, he says, where do you see a hint? So the Rosh says that's talking in addition to the source Min HaTorah from the Pasuk in Yisrael, so there are additional hints that are a little bit more explicit. But even though the Rambam had said, that we started with, the Rambam had said that Bikur Cholim is a institution midrabanan of a concept min haTorah, there are Rishonim who felt, a number of Rishonim who believe that there is an explicit mitzvah, or at least an authoritative mitzvah min haTorah of Bikur Cholim, that either you could say the Gemara in Sota is getting at, the Asma Drachav, or the Gemara in Bav Mitzi is getting at from this pasuk in Parashas Yisro. And the Gemara there in Adarim, as you mentioned, has a number of comments as to different ideas of Bikur Cholim. One of the ideas the Gemara has there is the Gemara says that when you go to visit a chole, so you take away a little bit of his sickness. Kazik Lover Rav has a discussion about this in the end of his Sefer, the end of the Chuvis Eretzi that was reprinted. So in the back there's a little Ha'aris and Yonim Tsarim. So there's a little bit of a vort the Kazik Lover Rav has. That how do you know that someone who visits somebody takes away part of their sickness? Is that you also know from this expression? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit was healing to Avram, and apparently the Chazal understood, so an encounter with the Shekhinah is healing, has a healing effect, and a visit, he says, quotes from Medrash as well, that a tzaddik can have the same effect as the Shekhinah. So you meet with a tzaddik, it's like Kabbalah's Pnei Tzaddik, Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah. So you encounter a tzaddik, so that's like encountering the Shekhinah, that will also have the same healing effect. And a person who's doing a mitzvah ketikuna and following a mitzvah properly has some type of a tzaddik presence at that time. So at least on some levels, maybe it's not going to be 100%, or it'll be a 60th, it'll do something in order to heal. So the Gemara has this idea, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to explain, that when a person visits, so he seems to take away somewhat of his sickness. So that's, you know, in kind of a metaphysical sense, it's a little bit hard to discern. I don't know if the machines in the hospital mark this, but there are other reasons for Bikur Cholim as well. And this is something the Poskim quote, the Torah quotes, Shulchan Aruch quotes, largely from the Ramban. The Ramban has a sefer, Taurus Adam. Taurus Adam, a lot of it is on Hilchos Avelus, and is often quoted in that context. He also has other things that are related to Avelus. The Tzomos talks about some of the Ramban's famous comments about the Tanaisim are from the Taurus Adam, and also, without getting too morbid, but the things that revolve around Tochot Avelus, such as Bikur Cholim, so the Ramban gives some attention to as well. And the Ramban basically explains at least three reasons that are quoted by it's quoted by the Torah as well, and basically also it's quoted, it comes up in Shulchan Aruch, at least three different reasons for Bikur Cholim. On the one hand, you want that you should be able to take care of what they need. That very often a person who is ill is not able to attend to their own needs, and therefore you have to worry about that, and you have to go and see what is it that they really need. You know, what is not being taken care of for them. So that's one very important function of Bikur Cholim, and that's interesting to note. Part of the question, what exactly the word Bikur means. You know, sometimes in the Torah uses the word Bikur in the sense of inspect. You know, Bikur, we translate it colloquially as visiting, but Bikur could also mean that you are visiting for the purpose of looking into the situation. What does the person need? What are their issues? And that could be one of the reasons the Rabban explains, one of the major functions of Bikur Cholim. Another
That's a kelim of what?
That's a kelim in chesed. Certainly, that's a kelim in chesed for sure. Probably as well.
These are different makaras that he's giving, or it's all.
And that sounds to be like that's an aspect of the chesed idea, that part and parcel of, or really the background source for the Gichon. Another reason the Ramban quotes, another reason Ramban gives, is basically you need to give him chizuk. Right? A person who is sick often gets depressed and often feels like they're hopeless. So, and also they certainly feel alone. So when a person comes to visit, so that's a way of showing support, that's a way of giving much needed encouragement to a person who's sick. Another reason that the Shulchan Aruch emphasizes, third reason, this one's a little bit more spiritual, Shulchan Aruch says that anyone who visits a chola and doesn't pray for him, doesn't pray that he should have a refuah shleima, so is not mekayim the mitzvah. And then Mefarshim explained that's a little bit overly harsh. Doesn't necessarily mean to say that it was totally worthless, but it means that there is an aspect of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim which he is not fulfilling, and that aspect is to daven. So why can't you just daven at home? So you can, but the assumption is that when you come and you see the Chola, so that is more your sense of anguish, and you see the straits that they're in, you see what they're going through, so that makes you really feel a special push to actually daven, and therefore your tefillah will be all the more stronger, all the more motivated, all the more impassioned, and that's apparently also a very important function of Bikur Cholim Akidei Kas, that the Shulchan Aruch has this phrase, whether it's meant to be taken literally or not, that one who doesn't do this is missing out on something big. And the Vilna Gaon points out, that seems to be what the Gemara is getting at, that the Gemara says that a person shouldn't visit in the first 3 hours of the day. And the assumption is, in the first 3 hours of the day, so the person is being taken care of by the attendants, or for whatever reason, the person is a little bit healthier during that time. And as weird as it sounds, we want you to see the person at their worst. We don't want you to see the person when they don't look as bad as they do the rest of the time, because you're not going to feel as motivated to worry about them. And we want you to worry about them, we want you to doubt about them, so we want you to see them at their worst, and to not task a go when they don't look as bad. If you're concerned about this, Lamais, the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, comments that he doesn't think that that's necessarily such a real integral aspect of them. He says, the Gemara was saying this as an Eitzah, it's in the spirit of this need to be over your passion to daven. Doesn't really mean to say it is a din. You shouldn't feel that if you see somebody at that time that you're really doing anything terribly wrong, but the Gemara is raising this point in order to illustrate this idea that feeling a sense of rachmanis for the person is one of the major motivations for going, and therefore it's kedai to go when you will see them at their worst at some level. Now this question of what the reason for Bikur Cholim is factors into a number of discussions. By far the most popular discussion of Bikur Cholim among Poskim, one of the favorite questions many, many Poskim talk about, is the question of, do you have to actually go? Let's say you just call. Now it depends what door you're in, how this question is phrased. The more recent Poskim discuss phoning. 100 years ago, they talk about letters. Right? The earlier Poskim will say, can you fulfill Bikur Cholim by writing a letter to somebody? And more contemporary Poskim ask, can you fulfill Bikur Cholim through the telephone? So you could also ask, what about email? Although, and it's a valid question, whatever your cheshbon is by the phone, it wouldn't necessarily be the same by email, because email is, there's no give and take. I mean, there is a give and take, but it's at a remove. So, although you could ask maybe about AOL, talking, right, or instant messaging maybe, but one could definitely make an argument, although it should be worse than a letter, though. So if you could be more into phone calls than letters, but email might be somewhere in between. In any case, although it has the advantage of also being more immediate, but
email might be worse because it's like less. The letter is more of a chavod.
Right, that could be also that it's less distinguished, but it shows less effort. But on the other hand, it's more immediate, so that's definitely a plus. In any case, this is a popular topic in Poskim. Moshe Feinstein has a shuva about this in Siman Reish Chav Beis. Siman Ches Yitzchok has a shuva about this in Chelek Beis in Siman Pei Dalet, and they were both responding to the same person. Part of why the cash is popular, because apparently there was somebody going around popularizing it. But and a number of other Poskim talk about this, the Tshuva Safnei Yaakov about this, Siman Reish Zayin, the Tshuva Be'er Sarim It's a popular topic in a number of poskim. Mari Steif talks about this. And most poskim, not all poskim, Mari Steif, most poskim, not all poskim, but I think Rav Moshe Feinstein represents what's perhaps the majority attitude, that we are talking about, that basically, look, there's a lot of different goals in Bikur Cholim, as we've seen. So if you actually visit, you will more effectively address all of these goals. But if you can't make it there, so we're not going to say that it's worthless to call. Because certainly you accomplish something. You accomplish, you can find out how he's doing, you can find out what he needs. You can certainly give some chizuk over the phone. You might be able to become more sensitized. His condition over the phone, all right, it would be certainly better if you would actually go. But it doesn't really make much sense to say that it's completely worthless not to go. So that seems to be an attitude that a lot of the posts can have. Happens to be the Chalkas Yaakov, and his tshuva seems to be very much in this. He feels he's not making Bikur Cholim on the telephone, you have to really go. But a number of poskim really seem to represent the attitude that Moshe Feinstein seems to express, that ideally you'll go, but if you can't go, so at least you should try to fulfill whatever aspects you can, and calling does fulfill some aspects. One point that Mari Steif points out, that, and others point this out as well, that and his chuvis, that you see the Gemara Bava Metzia understands Bikur Cholim out of the word Yelchu. That it seems that the actual traveling is a large part of the mitzvah. That it seems to be that a big thrust of the mitzvah is to actually go. So he does feel, as do others, that you are missing something if you don't actually go. This is something that Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses also actually in the previous chuva. It's also to the same person. In chuva Reish Chaf Aleph, in your day, in Reish Chaf Aleph. So Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses another point which this Shoel had raised, which the Minchas Yitzchak addressed also, because again it was the same Shoel, that this Shoel was also concerned about the fact that the Shalmei Nedarim has a question. Shalmei Nedarim is a question of Sefer from Masechet Nedarim. If you ever learn Masechet Nedarim, so enjoy the Shalmei Nedarim. The Shalmei Nedarim has a discussion there that the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch brings, based on the Gemara, that the requirement of Bikur Cholim applies even to a gadol visiting a katan. That's a little bit of a question what the terminology means, but whether we're talking about a katan as a child or we're talking about relative status here, but it seems to be that even a distinguished person is required to be matriach himself and go visit a person who of lesser status, which is not normally the way, right? Normally the way people who are more distinguished get visited. Tomorrow in Brachas Daf Yud has a whole question, has a whole discussion about Yoshio and Kutio. You know, normally the word is that people who are the more chashuv, they want everyone else to come to them. But nonetheless, the halacha seems to be that a person who is distinguished is required to visit a person who is less distinguished. So the Shalmei Nedarim asks, but we know that's normally not the case. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that in other places that Zakein Ve'Einu Lefi Chvodo, so if a person who's very distinguished and it's beneath his dignity to go around traveling to less distinguished places or people, so he's not required to do Hashavas Aveda. If a person finds something that would involve a lessening of his dignity to return it, so the Gemara says it is Patur. So why should we apply this here as well? That if it's a lessening of the person's dignity to go visit somebody who's less distinguished, so why should he have to do it?
So
you're saying Hashavas Aveda could be taken care of by somebody else, or Bikur Cholim, that's part of the question. So maybe you could do Bikur Cholim by Shlichus, if you assume that Bikur Cholim doesn't have to actually be. That's part of the question. But in any case, so that's a big discussion. So he has, so this Shoel, I think his name is Zubay Halberstam, the Shoel in the Chivas Menachas Yitzchak and Yerush Moshe, so he wanted to suggest that maybe the whole point of Bikur Cholim is the Halicha, and so during the Halicha there's no Bizayin because nobody knows who you're going to go visit. And Moshe Feinstein wasn't so excited about the Teretz, and he like kind of takes the task for all his different attempts at answering this question. And the first Chuvah before the Chuvah about the telephone, the Chuvah about the telephone is Reish Chaf Beis, and Reish Chaf Aleph, and Moshe discusses this question of why does a person have to visit, why does a god have to visit a cotton? And he discusses different approaches, he gives his own approach. If you're interested in that question, you should take a look. That's all discussed in the context of this other question of do you have to actually go, which, as we're saying, is a very popular question in the poskim, and it's something that is affected very much by this question of what is the reason for Bikur Cholim. One other detail of that question, one case where it becomes especially relevant, it's not only if it's inconvenient. It's not only an issue of convenience sometimes why people don't visit. Let's say, Rahman al-Islam, a person might have a contagious disease. A person has a contagious disease, so understandably, people are going to feel a little bit of a reluctance to go visit. Although, the Tshuvas HaRamah, I think it's Yutess, I'm not 100% sure about that. The Tshuvas HaRamah actually took the opinion that he didn't feel any difference. He said that there's an obligation to Yuvak HaCholim, doesn't matter what type of Chol it is. It does matter, but he says this is not the distinction that's made, so contagious people are also supposed to be visited. Apparently there's some kind of assumption there that those close to the mitzvah is going to protect you. But other poskim were not so sure. And the poskim have pointed out that modern minhag is not so sure we're not so sure we want to go send you into contagious situations. The Sechemet quotes a lot of opinions on this. But still there is a responsibility towards this person, so certainly a responsibility especially. So that's one of the areas in which this question of telephone or something like that becomes more relevant. And in Svar it also seems to be that if you then assume that there is a kiyum in phoning, which it seems as far as there's some kiyum, then it becomes a little more important. And certainly a person who is contagiously ill is going to feel especially isolated, and the responsibility to try to address that in some other way is going to go up. So once we're assuming there's some kiyum in phoning, so that kiyum in phoning is going to become more of a premium when a person is contagious and is not having actual physical visitors. This question of contagious diseases is discussed at length in Shuvas Chemdas Tzvi, and it's also discussed in a more recent Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah in Chelek Aleph. Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah has a Chosh Mishpanyan, and this is three chalak in the first chalak, so he has a short discussion about this, of visiting people in contagious circumstances. We mentioned earlier the Sefer Yikar D'Chayim, the Sefer Yikar for the Rosh Yivik Kambi Avna. There's also a Sefer called Yikar D'Chaye. That's the more direct quote from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's all devoted to the halachas of Bikur Cholim. So in the Sefer Yikar D'Chaye in the back, so he has a little bit of discussion. What exactly is the Chiyah of Bikur Cholim? How far do you go? Because the Maisa, there's a million Cholim in the world, and if you really are going to take this seriously, you know, you're going to spend your whole life visiting Cholim. It's a wonderful thing, but you know, you have other things to do, so is it really shaykh that you have to go visiting everybody? So he says in this context, you know, that again there are these different goals. So on the one hand, so there's an idea to be attending to the needs of a person who's a chola. So if you know, if you're aware of somebody who is sick and who there isn't anybody to take care of, who there isn't anybody to take care of that person, there's nobody to attend to their basic needs, so then you know, the hapil is a little bit like a mix mitzvah. It becomes certainly an obligation on everybody who knows about it to try to take care of it. That becomes a very pressing issue. That anybody who is aware of somebody who no one else is attending to their needs because they're too sick, so then it really does become an obligation for everyone who knows about this to deal with it. When there are basic people attending their needs, they're in the hospital, they have relatives, they have people looking after them, so then the focus is more on other issues, the issues of tefillah and things like that. So then it becomes less of an absolute chiyuv, especially because you can daven without going, but just your davening is enhanced when you go. So then it's important, but then it becomes more reasonable. Then when you can work it out with your other obligations in your life, then you work it out, but it's not as pressing as it is when their needs aren't being taken care of, because then that reason takes over and that becomes the primary focus. This question of davening is interesting. A little bit of a confusing tshuva, I don't totally understand. In the third chelik of the Tshuvas Van Haggis, he has a tshuva that's entitled Bikur Cholim B'Shabbos. Let's say you want to visit somebody on Shabbos. The Gemara says if you visit somebody on Shabbos, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Dafid Beis, so you're supposed to say Shabbos Yimilizik Rufu Klov Lovo. You're not supposed to really daven for them on Shabbos. The Chazal didn't want us to be Shol Surachim like that on Shabbos. So you say Rufu Klov Lovo and you don't daven for them. But Rav Sternbuch, the author of the Tshuvas Van Haggis, points out that the fact is we know in all the shuls we do make Mishaberech on Shabbos and we do daven for people on Shabbos. So it seems to be, we say it but we still do it. We say Shabbos Mizuk, we still are shul this Tzorech on Shabbos. So Maisa, are we all in violation of this din? So Rav Sternbuch suggests that really there's a difference, that when Chazal didn't want us to daven for a chol on Shabbos, they meant the real prime davening that you do, the Shas HaBikur, when you go to visit somebody and you see how pathetic they are, you see how sick they are, and you're motivated then with tremendous passion and emotion to daven, so that's what's a little bit of a contradiction to the mood of Shabbos. But when you're in the more removed sense, when you're in shul, you're not in front of the cholos, so that's not such a contradiction to Shabbos. So I'm not sure what the implications are for visiting people on Shabbos. I don't know if he's trying to say that you therefore shouldn't visit cholim on Shabbos, or maybe he's trying to say that in the sense of the Gemara, where you're actually going to then start davening right there at his bedside, so maybe that much would be a contradiction on Shabbos. But stam to visit somebody who's a chola without actually davening at their side, whether that would be such a problem in what light of what he's discussing, I'm not sure. In light of the different reasons, there's also discussion in the Tshuvas Avnei Yoshpa in Chelek Aleph. Avnei Aleph Beis Nun Yud Yoshpa Yud Shin Tehei. So he has a discussion of what if Rachman al-Islam, let's say there's a tinok that's a chola, so you have a baby who is sick, so is there an inyan to visit the baby? The baby is not really aware of things, not going to know that you're visiting them, so is that an inyan or not? So, and this really you could ask also by people who are stam not conscious, by adults who are not conscious, you could ask this question in general. So he points out that he thinks really according to all three reasons it makes sense, because you can still find out if the baby has any needs that you can attend to, and certainly it's shayach to daven for the baby, certainly shayach to marir rachman, and for the reason of giving chizviks you might think that doesn't apply because the baby is not aware. So he says no, the parents are aware and the parents are very concerned and they need chizvik, and also the first reason of needs, the parents are in the hospital all the time, they are going to have needs that they're not going to be able to attend to because they're taking care of the baby. So for the sake of the parents, this is an inyan of Bikur Cholim, that even though they're not the Cholim themselves, but the needs that are addressed by Bikur Cholim are relevant to the parents also, and that's something that can be addressed even in the visiting of a tinok. And he doesn't discuss this, but this far can be extended as well to any person who's not aware, a person who's not conscious, and unfortunately many cholim often are, so still there isn't any need to visit for these purposes. My father always points out, as a person, he's done a lot of bikur cholim in his life, and he points out that he always feels that even if a person has no idea that you come, it's still very chashuv to go, because especially for the staff in the hospital, the nurses and the doctors who see that a person is visited or asked about a lot, so they have more of a chashivus to that person. They tend to give more attention to that person. So even if the patient himself doesn't necessarily see the visitor, but the doctor sees that somebody came, the doctor sees that somebody called and asked what was going on, they feel more of a zrizus, they feel more of a attention to that person, and that's a beginning. Just mention one other issue. So what about Bnei Noach? So what about non-Jews? Are non-Jews obligated in, you know, we've already connected, we're trying to go back in time. So we already connected this parish to Lech Lecha, now let's go back to Noach. So what about Bnei Noach? So are they obligated in Bereishis? Are they obligated in Bikur Cholim as well? It's not really on the surface, not really one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. So that's a discussion in Svarim. There is a Sefer Zera Chaim. It's written by Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, who is a great grandson, I think, of the Kaf HaChaim. So the Sefer Zerachayim, is all about Bikur Cholim. So I think Siman Yud Zayin, he has a whole discussion about this. He says the Kaf HaChaim. So he has a whole discussion about this question: are Bnei Noach obligated in Bikur Cholim? And he seems to take the position that they are. He has a number of reasons why. One of the reasons is he has a basic theory there that anything that's logical, anything that seichel mechayto, anything that your instinct, your intellect would indicate is a kedai, you wouldn't really need the Torah to come and spell it out. The Torah does spell it out, but anything that your mind would have told you to do anyway, because that's relevant to all of humanity, so that it would be an obligation on Ben Ochoa. So there's a discussion like that. He also points out that Nitziv seems to write in his, and along similar lines, Nitziv wrote a Haskamah or Akdama to Tevra Avos Chesed of Chavetz Chaim, so there's a letter from Nitziv in the beginning. So Nitziv there states his opinion that he believes that Benoah Kharchaev and Gemilas Chazad is an obligation on all of humanity. Maybe the Seichel, whatever it is, if you look in the Sefer Zera Chaim, the whole discussion about this. There's also discussion about this in the Sefer Birkas Alvis. It goes as length into issues of Benoah and things like that. He talks about this as well. And one other angle that the Zera Chaim takes is interesting. So the Gemara says,
Gemara has a comment which sounds a little bit homiletical. He seems to take it very seriously in this context. So Gemara says that over there in Adarim and Daf Mem, I think, that whoever is Mevaker Cholim, Kilu Shofech Dam. The person doesn't visit somebody, so it's as if he's killing him. I think Rashi there quotes, the Rashi in Adarim is fake, it's not Rashi. It's a question who it is. Whoever it is who's dressing up as Rashi on the side of the page says that apparently this obligation of looking after the needs of the Chole is such a big deal. You know, who knows what's going to happen if you're not going to take care of them. So if you're not going to be there to visit them, so you could, Rahman al-Islam, an impact on their longevity in a serious sense. And that's like Shvichus Dam. So Zerach Haim quotes opinions that suggest that therefore maybe you could say that there is an obligation of, there is an Isser of Shvichus Dam by non-Jews, an obligation is a prohibition of murder. And we have a tradition also that sometimes, and he quotes a lot of sources to support this, that the Shabbat Mitzvahs Bnei Noach don't only include the absolute Isurim, but also we call the Abizrayu, all the different things that go along with it. Okay, so he quotes there an opinion that the Bnei Noach have an Isser of Nivul Peh. There's a discussion about that in the Kudzu Glover. The Kudzu Glover has a tshuva that also Bnei Noach prohibited Nivul Peh. So he quotes an opinion there in the Zerach Haim that they're prohibited Nivul Peh because it's an Abizrayu to Gilui Arayis. It's like a subset of Gilui Arayis. He says anything that goes along with the Shabbat Mitzvahs is also a part of the package. So Shvichus Damim could have subsets also. Like one possibility we've discussed in the past is Halbanus Panim, the prohibition to embarrass people, and the Gemara compares that to Ritzicha, we've discussed in the past how serious a comparison that is, and it's relevant to the question of Bnei Noach. Shvichus Damim is one of the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, so do we say that therefore they're prohibited to embarrass people as well? It's a discussion to the Shvichus Yaakov, who actually came out Lekula on that point. So, but in the Zerach Haim, he quotes opinions L'chumra, that Bnei Noach are prohibited to embarrass other Bnei Noach and anyone, because it is a subset of Shvichus Damim. So the Zerach Haim suggests that maybe since the Gemara says that this attendance to the needs of the Chol is such a crucial factor, that one who doesn't do it is in violation of Shvichus Damim, so perhaps you can apply this to Bnei Noach as well, and obligate Bnei Noach in the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Okay, so we'll stop there just to quickly review. So we discussed a little bit the obligation of Bikur Cholim that's hinted to in this week's parasha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit Avram. And the Rambam writes that chasadim in general are kiyum in v'ahavtarech kamocha, but the specific chasadim are institutions of Midrabanan. We discussed that it reflects the Rambam's attitude that v'ahavtarech kamocha imposes the responsibility of active behavior as opposed to others like the Ramban, who believed that it was more of a shwila, more of telling you what not to do. Don't hurt other people the same way you wouldn't want to be hurt, and that's why some use it as a mucker for the Issan Ezekin, and related ideas, why Tosus and Sanhedrin said they can't be talking about living people because it's too hard to have the Hafter Kamocha in a positive sense, but nonetheless, the Rambam seems to maintain that that it does apply in a positive sense, and therefore it comes as a source for chesed. But then the question is, so why do you need that mitzvah drabbanan for the specific chesed? We discussed Reb Leif's essay that it's not always going to be the case that people are going to have the sensitivity to others just by basing it on their own needs to know what to do for everyone else. So therefore Chazal had to make certain surahs to make sure that people would develop a sensitivity to the certain generalized needs that are out there that they may not personally share. And we discussed a similar discussion in the Sefer Siach Yosef, who also points out that really there's another source, the Gemara in Sotah, the Halacha B'Drachah, and apparently there's two different obligations here, both of which involve acts of chesed, one to improve your own midos and the others to help others, and both of those are important and apply in most, but not necessarily all overlapping cases. Nonetheless, so the Rambam seems to have the idea that Bikur Cholim itself is a Tekanah Drabbanan, but others seem to hold it. Right, so the Gemara says there's a remiss to it in the Darim, but the Rishonim point out that the Gemara above Metziah, the Pasuk in Yisro, as the Hodatim is a Derech Yochuba, is a Makar Min HaTorah. And we discussed then some of the ideas the Gemara has in the Darim about this, and the idea that a person who visits the Chol takes away part of the sickness. We discussed the Kajik Lover's explanation that it's because the Shechina takes away part of the sickness, and doing the mitzvah properly makes you into a tzaddik, which makes you like the Shechina, and therefore you take away at least something. And then we discussed the Ramban's different reasons for this mitzvah, that the Ramban's reasons for Taras Adam, that get quoted in the Torah of Beis Yosef and Shemara, that you, first of all, are able to attend to the needs of the Chol, and Lashon Bikur has that connotation as well, that you also are motivated, you are also able to encourage and cheer up the person who might be depressed and isolated. And also, as the Gemara says, you shouldn't visit in the early part of the day, because you'll see them when they're too healthy, that you are motivated to daven and to feel a sense of rachmanis, and therefore you want to pray more in order to help bring about a refuah for this person. And these different reasons factor majorly in the very popular discussion among poskim, the question of letters or phones as opposed to an actual visit. We discussed different svaras, how that affects different approaches. We said the mainstream opinion seems to be like a Moshe Feinstein, that you don't do everything, but you do something. And there were still machmirim within this idea as well, the Halakos Yaakov, perhaps the most well-known among them, and discussed the idea that maybe the Yelku is very fundamental. That's something that Rabbeinu Smishtayev points out, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia uses that to intuit the rule of the Kecholim, and discussed that was also relevant to a side question of why the halacha is that a gadol is required to visit a katan, even though that's not the halacha by Shabbos Aveda. And we discussed the different approaches to that, some of them being relevant to this idea of Yelchu. We discussed also the fact that this question of impersonal visits, telephone visits or whatever, are relevant for also the situation of a person with contagious illness. We discussed the Ramah felt there wasn't any distinction, but many more contemporary poskim were a little bit more cautious about this, and so that's the situation where the telephone becomes even more of an issue. And we discussed the question that discussed the Sefer Yikar of the Chaye of what is the fundamental obligation, how far do you have to go, do you have to go around and visit people all day. So he distinguished between the reason of worrying about their needs, and if you know there's no one else who can do that, then you're really obligated to do that primarily. But if that's not the case, then it becomes a little bit less of a pressing obligation while still an important mitzvah. And we discussed also the Tshuva and the Shuvah Sanhagis about visiting somebody on Shabbos, and how the prayer for the sick becomes such an important point. That could be what the Gemara says that you shouldn't do on Shabbos. You shouldn't daven at the Chola's house on Shabbos. In fact, we daven in the shul, which is less connected to the actual Chola, is a little bit less of a problem in his whole discussion about that. And then we discussed as well the quest discussion of the Yashba about visiting a Tinoch who's not aware of the situation, and how he basically felt that all the reasons apply either directly to the Tinoch or to the parents, which is also a major issue, and that a lot of this logic, if not discussed in that Shuvah, but a lot of this logic is relevant also to even an adult who is not aware of his visitors. And just mentioned my father's point that also helps to be aware of the doctors to be more aggressive in their handling of the situation. And that's an important point also. And then we just close with the discussion of whether or not Bnei Noach are obligated in Pikacholim, and we mentioned this discussion in the Sefer Zerachayim and in the Sefer Berkas Avos, and that the approach those learners seem to be that there was a chiyuv question of why. Maybe it's because anything that the Seichel is Machayiv is relevant to Bnei Noach as well, and the Nesiv's comment in his Hakdama to the Avos Chesed, or Haskama to Avos Chesed, that there is an obligation of Gemilas Chesed to Bnei Noach. And I mentioned the other theory that Zerachayim discusses, that since the Gemara says in Nedarim that somebody is not Mavakar Cholas Kilu Shofech Damim, apparently because this need to worry about their concerns and their needs is such a major element of Tikkun Cholam that absent that could have chalula very bad consequences. And so that's at least what the Suda Rashi explains. And maybe therefore we can come to the conclusion that lack of Tikkun Cholam is to be considered abizrayu the shvichus damim, and that's a very serious concern which should extend to Bnei Noach also being obligated in shvichus damim, and perhaps obligated in abizrayu as well. Okay, so we'll stop there. Next week we'll talk about something else. Yeah. Okay, again, I